Hello and welcome to another episode of What Do You Call It podcast. I'm your host, GB. Today's guest has wrestled in some of the biggest companies in wrestling history, including WCW, NWA, UWF, WWE, and when it was WWF. Stepped inside the ring with some of the biggest names in wrestling history. We're going to be discussing them today. Please give up for Chuck Coates. Chuck, how are you doing this weekend?
Doing good. It's good to be here. It's good to be part of this. I'm excited to talk with you.
Thank you very much for your time. It looks like you had a busy weekend, by the way. Was it college football that he's watching?
Yeah, big guy.
I'm not going to pretend that I know. But it looked fun, though. I was watching the international football, so soccer, as you guys call it.
Yeah, right.
That's a crime calling it that, but yeah. So,
which is really real football. That's what they do.
Chuck, we're already going to get on.
Kind of like I see it, man.
Love it.
That's football.
I'm still baffled.
Don't touch it, you kick it.
Exactly. Makes no sense, but I'm kind of used to it now. But before I discuss your wrestling career, your wrestling origins, I want to actually discuss a particular match that you had in your career because of my tweet and your response to it. So for those that follow me on Twitter, you're already going to be aware that it's what I do is honest opinion, and I mention like a wrestling name or wrestling match, and I just allow the fans to interact and sort of comment on, you know, basically their true feelings. So you had actually been in the ring with one of the subjects I mentioned, Sean O'Hare. So a lot of fans remember him from WCW and WWE. As you mentioned, working with him, he was very stiff with you, and the match itself, it aired on Sunday Night Heat in 2002. If you can tell the listeners about this match and your overall experience with Sean O'Hare.
Well, I do believe it was Velocity, WWE. It may have been WWE, WWF, throughout Velocity. Mm-hmm. And we were, you know, throughout my career, I knew my job. I knew literally my job. And but as I got along and as that attitude era came and all that, they started using me more, maybe like a mid-card guy. And so I would get out on the syndicated shows and be able to wrestle some of the guys. And Sean O'Hare was I didn't know him. I never met him before. And all he knew was by looking at me who I was. And, I think they gave us eight or 9 minutes. And you know, I'm just tall like I see it. I mean, he went out there and was almost a shoot. I mean, we kept within the professionalism of pro wrestling. But it was almost like, I don't know if he didn't respect me or he didn't think I could. You know, he didn't know who I was, so he's going to make sure he took control. But we call it snug. He's very snug business. And from the tie-up to the headlocks and all, and I just thought, I didn't know if it was a personal thing or whether he wasn't trained properly or what. But the worst part of the match, though, was when he does that kick to your back. He had me sitting in prone position, and I left him open. And you give him your body as you're supposed to is my part. I gave my body trusting him, and he kicked me so hard. It literally, you know, it took my breath, and it took me 5 or 10 seconds to really regather myself. By the time I got halfway available, you know, able to get going, and he kicked me again. Boom! He has kick pad like that. Pop! And the hardest I've ever been kicked in my life, and I've been kicked by a lot. And like I said, and afterwards, the whole experience was like, you just didn't know which way. And I'm about as easy going. Anybody knows me, I'm as easy going as they get. I try to avoid confrontation. I don't, if there's a problem, I try to, you know, I just do my best to stay away from issues and conflicts. And, but the whole time from the minute we tied up to the minute we got done, it was almost like a intent. It's just like getting ready to explode. And, it went good. Everything went good. And, in the wrestling ring, you've probably been told this before, we're really running on adrenaline. Unless we break something or have a severe muscle pull or tear something, get knocked out, obviously. Most of the bumps and the stiff, you can absorb it because your adrenaline, you don't really feel it till later at night.
Mm-hmm.
And we got back in the back, and he thanked me. He said, thanks, man. It was all it was. I said, yeah, no problem. But just a weird experience because, like you said, I've had the opportunity to be in the ring with some of the debate. I'm honored to say that, and being on the receiving end, that's fine. But him not really being a Lex Luger or a Ricky Steamboat or, you know, some of these other guys I worked with, it was, he was kind of a, His in-ring professionalism wasn't what I would call. I just don't think he looked at me as most another job guy rather than, hey, you know, who's this guy? He's a wrestler trying to make it. And that's from my heart. And like I said, we shoot here. As you said, you know, you ask a question, you want truth. And so just tell it like it is. It wasn't a great experience, but we made it through. We didn't get hurt. A little sore that day, but in his job. But he was very stiff, to sum it up.
Shitty that he was kind of, you know, reckless with you in the ring. But then he actually he was like, kind of went 180 and then thanked you after the match. He was like, yeah, thanks. You know, well done, mate. You know, just, okay. Yep.
He thanked me because he was taught to say thank. He didn't thank me because he was sincere.
Yeah, okay.
I did what I was supposed to do. Put him over $1 to make, and that's the way he looked at it. And never saw him again. So, but it's part of the job. I go out there knowing, you know, I'm gonna get all kinds of personalities, all kinds of techniques, different styles. Wrestle like amateur guys that can wrestle like, you know, put on a show type wrestle, and guys that can't work at all, and you got to kind of carry them. I've been there. Not that I'm expert, not that I'm great, but I mean, I was trained by one of the best, Nelson Royal himself and Gene Anderson. Looking back, that's a pretty big names. When, you know, everybody said, who's you trained by? You throw names like that, they know that you were taught the right way. So I always tell people, I was just one break, you know, one wrestling. A lot of, you know, a lot of guys, it's just right time, right timing. You know, it's all about timing, right place, right time. So many guys have gotten breaks by so-and-so was booking and so-and-so saw something in him and so-and-so and just wasn't in the cards. And that's fine. I did what I was supposed to do and made a good, you know, made a decent living.
Hello there. I've got a special announcement from the next guest.
It's your boy, one half of Act Two, Jen Hudson, and I will be appearing on the What Do You Call It podcast.
You heard. Before I do discuss some of the other names that you've been in the ring with and the companies that you've been in the ring with, and you just touched on it just briefly, like where you trained, but I just want to even go a bit further back, and I want to know why she made you a wrestling fan in the first place and basically inspired you to become a wrestler.
Yeah, my dad, to be quite, just tell you the facts, my dad was a wrestling fan, and I'm going to tell you something. A lot of kids had different ways they were disciplined as a youngster. We're talking 1970s for me. And my dad's way of discipline is, and I'm not talking about hardcore, you know, jerk a knot in your head stuff. I'm talking about the simple things like, you know, you didn't do your homework or you didn't learn your multiplication table, whatever. No wrestling. Guess what? I learned it quicker than any other measure he's taken. So my dad's a big wrestling fan. He took me my first match that I can remember. He took me, it was 1978.
Mm-hmm.
A local venue here in North Carolina, and the Dalton Arena, and I remember Wahoo was there, and Brute Bernard, and Johnny Weaver, and the oldie goldies, you know, and I was instantly hooked. So as an 8-year-old boy, I guess it was, I was hooked, and that was my reward because I did good, got a good report card, and we watched it on Saturday nights, and he'd watch it rather and allow me to watch it with him.
Yeah,
and we had fun, but that's how I got started watching it with my father. And I don't know, long age 13, 14, I decided I want to do this one day. And people in school, you know, everybody has a dream, baseball, football, basketball, whatever, Broadway, actor, actress, whatever. And I wanted to wrestle. So sure enough, I did. I made that happen. There's years I decided to go and train under one of the best, Nelson Royal. It was about, Charlotte's about 2 hours from here, Mooresville, North Carolina. So it wasn't too bad of a commute. And we did it, man. And then it's like the gates opened and opportunities come flying everywhere. And this was in the late 80s, you know. And so just missed the Jim Crockett era. They were just closing up. By the time I got started good, WCW was coming in. So
oh, the late 80s, yeah.
Yeah, I was at that part. So I just missed just Jim Crockett and the Russians and the Rock and Rolls and the Midnights and all that. Man, that's what I was
in your backyard as well to sort of be a part of that. That would have been awesome.
Yeah. And it's so surreal knowing that the guys I was watching, paying to see, entertain me in the wrestling, one day, peers of mine, people I know and call friends and actually work with. So I never thought in a million years that would happen. Mm-hmm. But little did I know, fast forward 20 years, that I could look back and say, wow, I'm having dinner tonight with Bob, Beautiful Bobby or Ricky Morton. These are people I loved to used to watch and pick their brains and learn all I could. They've been so gracious. Those older school guys are so gracious to help free of charge, just talking to you. And if they know you're serious about it, they're more than willing to help. So God bless those old school guys. They were, I can't even name one off the top of my head that didn't look at me as one of the boys, And for that, I'm grateful. It helped me tremendously.
No, that's good to hear, man. Like, you're just part of the community already. And right. I want to know briefly, if you do remember, your official in-ring debut, the first ever match that you ever had. I just want to know a bit more detail, because I actually like asking this question, because every answer is 9 times out of 10 is going to be different. And
yeah,
I think everyone sort of has a kind of unique experience. But I'd just like to hear about your debut, Chuck.
My debut was in the independent circuit, and we heard about it. And a word went to a friend, and said, well, tell them to come in. We might can use them. Mm-hmm. So we showed up. Didn't even have prayer boots. And I'm going to tell you something's going to make you laugh. We didn't have wrestling trunks. This is actually literally my first ever in a real wrestling ring.
Mm-hmm.
We showed up and we went and bought, and you're going to laugh, the underbriefs that cheerleaders wear, because they look like wrestling trunks. We didn't even have wrestling trunks. But we bought the extra large. Thank God they had large cheerleaders, because we bought the biggest ones. And we were actually out there in cheerleading briefs. And it looked good. I got a pair of boots to match. I borrowed them that night. My friend borrowed them, his pair, and they let us work first match. Rose and the Cobra. That was their names. We got stretched and didn't even realize it. We were so excited.
Oh, my God.
They turned us every way loose. Yeah.
Have you
no idea
you wear them again, by the way?
Never. I knew a little bit more about where to get the stuff. It's not like today, everybody makes wrestling gear. Back then, there was only two places. One was in Texas and one was in Ohio.
Yeah.
And K&H wrestling gear and this other place. So we didn't have the luxury. Like today, you buy a wrestling gear. You used to one from a distance. It was awesome. You make your own,
So, bloody hell. I might have to
I guess you
can
call me old school now.
Just a thumbnail of you with a cheerleader outfit. No, that's cool. I can't say I've heard that story before. So as I've just discussed your wrestling debut and what made you a wrestling fan, and just getting the origins of Chuck Goes, before I do touch on WCW and NWA and WWE, I've got to ask you, because for me, it's the first time I've ever discussed it. You worked briefly for Herb Abrams, UWF. So it's become a bit of a wrestling legend now, the company and the owner, amongst wrestling fans, and even had its own episode on the dark side of the ring.
Yeah,
I want to ask you personally, how was your time UWF, and did you ever interact with Herb Abrams?
Not much. Maybe just walking by, but a lot of the things I did there, I was wearing a hood. Because anybody, if you can work, wrestle, and they'll give you a hood and say, you're going to be the flying cyclone or whatever.
Is that when you used the helmet
I didn't
Hessler?
Really get, Yeah, well, that was Hans and Helmet. They were part of the – later on, we became a tag team. But mm-hmm. my partner, Chuck Smith, Helmet, he was the actual one that started that. That was him.
Oh, boy.
And
okay.
I came in a bit later, but we were the German – he was a German stormtrooper. And Manny Fernando brought me in as a tag partner. And we were the stormtroopers in the South Atlantic. And the South Atlantic Pro Wrestling, that was NAWA, if you remember – they produced so much talent. They had Rob Van Dam at 19 years old. We had Ken Shamrock, who went by Vince Torelli. Chris Chavis, the War Eagle. Wahoo was there. Manny was there. Me and Chuck. The Pitbulls from ECW came out of that group. That was solid. Mm. That group was solid. Too bad the promotion didn't make it. It came down to money, and it just didn't work out. But so much
talent.
The talent
was there, though.
Yes. Oh, man. I remember Van Dam, he worked with boots on, wrestling boots, before he started with the Robbie V and the barefoot. But he came in, it was his name, Rob Zelkowski, and he wrestled 19 years old, and he was out there, and you can see it, like, this guy's got something to mm-hmm. offer. And I was about 7 years older, so I could see hard work. I thought, this guy's got it. And who knew? The rest is history. I've been down before. But he played his dues as well. Robbie V and then Matt Burns in WCW. And so he made his way up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ECW comes calling you. Boom, there you have it. Rob Van Dam's born. So that was awesome. Mm. And but that was fun. That was a fun time. But yeah, Chuck Smith was my partner. He's the one that did a lot of work for Herb. And I came along with after. Some people get that mixed up, but he did. He was the originator of the Germans. So he's great, man. I love that guy.
German Stormtrooper. Like, I just love wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, just for us to like have this conversation. I only wrestling, right?
Let's... Hold on just a minute.
No worries. No worries.
somewhere I want to show you. Here it is. This might give you a little better idea. That's us together. Is that the guy you're talking about?
Yeah, is that the was that in the early 90s?
This is 1991.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that's your partner that we've just been talking about, yeah.
Yeah. He did it all, and then I came along, and there they have it, the troopers. But that was us, and we had a good little run. We had about a year run, and then he kind of, you know, parted ways. He went his own way, and I started something different. Yeah, it's all about it. You just got to keep it real, and but we stay good friends all these years. I just saw him last year. He's down near Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I stopped to visit. Had a good visit. It's good to see your old friends, you know, after so many years.
Hello there. I've got a special announcement for my next guest.
You are listening to the Sweet Prince of Professional Wrestling, one half of Act Two, Benjamin Harland, and I will be appearing on What Do You Call It podcast.
Who better than What You Call It podcast? Listen to the episode and you'll get the reference. WWF and WWE. So you occasionally appeared there against some of the household names.
Yeah.
Andre the Giant, Big Boss Man, Christian, Kurt Angle, and many more. I've rarely done this on the podcast, but I'd like to do a word association with some of the wrestlers that you've been in the ring with in WWE and WWF. So if we start off with, so first time ever, it's awesome. Well, not first time, but it's been a long time. But with you, Chuck, I'm going to start off with Scotty Tuhoti.
Ah, he's the, that was later in career, 2003. Scotty was awesome. We came out and that was great because we got to work. We had 10 minutes. I got heat on him. The match is on YouTube. And this is after all my series of years with WCW when I was a job guy. And I'm just going to call out. But I was actually getting to work matches. And the same with Sean O'Hare and Prince Albert, Hugh Morse. We had some matches together. And Scotty was great. You know, we went out and did our thing. And he was telling me, you know, hey, what do you want to do? It's heat because I trust you, you know. And we went up there and had a great time. He's a good guy, very, very humble. Let me do my stuff. And, you know,
it was pretty competitive, that match.
Yeah, I was really, when I went to the top, I didn't think he would go for it. So I wanted to go to the top rope when I my finish. He said, okay, go for it. Most guys would be like, oh, we don't want to do that. It's a little much for a big card, you know, match. And he said, go for it. And when he said, go for it, I said, I'm going to jump as high as I can. I've been waiting for this moment. You know, maybe somebody will notice.
Yeah.
And I jumped as far as I could jump, high as I could jump. And it worked out great. He said, pop up out of that, and I'll hit you with the worm. And it worked out. But, yeah, he was great to work with, man. That was nice. Really cool. I saw him earlier this year in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I went over and introduced myself. He remembered. A lot of those guys have done so much. He looks familiar, you know, because everybody has their little cliques. You know, this is North Carolina, Hardy Boy country. So they're the, you know, my circle is Hardys and Joey Abs is from here and those guys. And, you know, all the guys, Shane Helms is one of my friends, Hurricane Helms. So we came out of the same area, a group, you know. So,
oh, nice.
A lot of people, they can't place your name because obviously they don't see you a lot, you know. So, I'd rather somebody say, your face looks familiar, I don't remember your name, than saying, oh, yeah, what's going on? How you been?
Yeah.
You know,
and it's like, okay, what's actually my name? Just to test them out. Like, okay. Yeah. It's, when they're doing that.
Yeah, right. But that's I look a lot different. You know, I had hair then and no facial hair. So things have changed. But we all get older. Where exactly are you located right now?
Just outside London in Essex.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
So Scotty Hotty is actually on tour right now in England.
very nice. Okay, good deal. It's awesome, man. You guys are awesome over there. I have Coach fans in Scotland. This is by no means, I understand. I just, people that heard of me, not fans. I used to pull for you, and it makes you feel good, you know, because I'm just who I am. And yeah. You know, people actually watched it, and, you know, even if you know it's a work, you still knowing you had those guys. I liked you, man. You were something about you. And they're from all over the world. You know, technology is amazing now. This would never happen 25 years ago.
And especially awesome. With the internet, it just allows us to like watch back like some of the greatest times and the moments, right. And even like some of the shows that were kind of forgotten about, like Velocity right. and Jacked and stuff. And even Heat, I used to love Heat back in the day personally. Like, I used to be able to watch it on Sunday, or at least record it on VHS and watch the next day, you know, after school, just like not even just Raw, Sunday Night Heat, loved it. And then like the undercard guards, like the enhancement talents, Jobber, like, is that offensive, by the way? The reason I'm asking you, Chuck, right.
There was Barry Horowitz was great.
Barry Horowitz, one of the most famous ones, when he beat Chris Candido. Yes. Because he has lost for so long, when he did win, it meant so much to the fans and to him, and the commentators put it over. Right. So those moments. And it's you guys are, in a way, the backbone.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys, you know, their careers and their future, like it does, it's very important how good, not just they look, but you look as well, in order for them to look good and be presented well, because if it doesn't connect and, you know, you're not doing your job, then it just doesn't help them either, and no one benefits.
Right. You said something that's big. The commentators have got to do a good job, because Tony Schiavone was always great at saying good things. And believe it or not, Paulie did some of the matches. He was good about, you know, Taz did great. He says in the Scotty match, if you notice, I don't know about Chuck, I don't know where he's from, but guys, that little thing like that, that people want to watch. Hey, maybe this is the next guy. Maybe this is the next star, you know? And I mean, at one time, LA Knight had no idea he was going to be over so big. But here, look at him now. You just got to keep on, you know, and just if things, cards fall right, if it's meant to be, it's going to happen. Sometimes I'm glad it didn't happen, because I would have probably fell into the same, I'm just going to be honest with you, the partying and the you know, all the stuff that comes with it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a blessing not been, you know, signing that contract, and that money. It's easy to forget, you know, hey, what's important, and you work so hard to get here, and I want to ruin it on everything that's wrong. And so look back sometimes, realistically maybe it was a good thing, but boy, I tell you, I've had a blast doing it, and I love talking about it. That's why we're here today, you know.
That's it, mate. And I can tell, like, you've had a good career. You look very fondly on the memories that you had, and you like interacting with the fans as well. Just a few names as well that I'm going to follow up on with Scotty Chiron and the World Association. Christian.
Let me tell you about that. That was a mistake. That match was, they put my name on there, and he, to this day, he ribs me about it. That was a good friend of mine. His name was Drew Offnick, but he went by Drake Dawson. And they put Chuck Coates, and that's actually him, not me. So I never really worked with him. Yeah. If you watch the match.
Yeah, okay, yeah. He's got the tattoos.
And we're good
and
friends,
different...
and he's like, you still? Yeah, that's him. Yeah, that's Drew. And to this day, we talk. He goes, you took my spot, man. And I say, hey, talk to WWE about that. I had no idea they were going to put my name up there. But somebody dropped the ball on the, you know, on that. But.
But even he's like, that's my gimmick. That's my gimmick.
Yeah. He said, I finally get the big screen and you got your name on my picture. So,
That's awesome. Pretty cool. I actually didn't know that. No, that's fair. I mean, I've watched that, but then didn't. Nikolai Volkov.
So who's another one? Who?
Volkov.
Nikolai? Nikolai and Boris in the tag match, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was good. There was a spot in that match where back then we videoed, you know, they could edit it. It wasn't live. And he wanted me to leapfrog him. And I said, sure, no problem. I didn't think about leapfrogging a guy 6'7", you know, 350 pounds. And I went to leapfrog him, and I didn't go over him. And I went straight into the ropes, landed on the second rope, and kind of hooked it. I thought, what do I do now? The only people that know about this is the people in this arena. Nikolai grabbed me, called me, and said, let's just do it again. Forget the leapfrog. So what he did, he shot me in and did that spin kick he used to do.
Yeah.
The spot was leapfrog Nikolai, come off, he does a spin. He said to do the same thing. They edited it. You never even knew it in the you never even knew about it. And some people say they think it was a rib, but I don't know. You know, I should have probably tried it before I did it. But you know, leapfrogging him is like leapfrogging a refrigerator. So
he was a big guy, wasn't he?
A small refrigerator. big old chest. And so that was, nobody ever knows that, but the people that were there that night, but they edited it out and never even, you watch it on TV, you can't even tell what happened, but it was good. They both were good to work with. Very easy. Very, very much. You know, the Russian thing was over then. And
I've got another one for you.
It was good.
Bad News Brown. Yep.
Oh man. There's another story I can tell you. We worked him twice within like 2-3 months apart. They put us together twice. The second night I wrestled him, he did the ghetto blaster and he kicked me. And the whole deal is his top of his foot hits here, boom. He kicked me too high. If you see this, his shin hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to take his leg right in the front swole up so bad he had to take the next day off. He kicked me and he kicked me with his shin, but he kicked. All that coming is you just got to grin and bear it because there's really no way you can work that, you know, make it look good. And the ghetto blaster was really, but other than that, he was good, man. Boom. And he was very kind. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate you doing that for me and stuff. And very good experience with Bad News.
Andre the Giant.
Other than hurting his shin, which is not my fault. Blame the back of my head, right? Andre, good gracious. Man, I tell you. Story about that. My second TV match out of wrestling school. Now, I told you about the little match I had in the Indies. Mm-hmm. When I got the call from Nelson, they were sending you up. About a month later, Nelson said, they want to send you up to Vince needs some new faces. Are you willing to go? I said, I'm willing to go. I've been waiting my whole life for this.
Yeah.
I think about 18 or 20 of us went up into Wheeling, Virginia, WWF. TV, whatever they called it then. First night I had Boss Man and Akeem. And then the next night in Toledo, Ohio, we drove up. And third match on the taping, Chuck Coach Paul Roma, which is cool in itself, tagging with Paul Roma.
Yeah.
Versus Haku and Andre the Giant. And I stared at that chalkboard. They had an old chalkboard. They'd put it out in front of the monitors and write it. Every TV, they'd write it. Whenever they had their meetings, they decided who's going to work with who. And I looked at it. And I saw my name. Now, here I am, a kid out of wrestling school, thinking, my second ever bitch is Andre the Giant. To this day, it don't seem
real. That is mental. Hello there. I've got a special announcement from my next guest.
Hello, I am Leon Gray, one half of Made to Last, and I'm going to be appearing on What You Call It podcast.
Yeah, I heard. That is mental, your second match.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Being Andre the Giant. That's
now, Andre loved to play cards and he loved his wine. And there was no beer that day, but he loved his wine, he loved his cards. So Haku comes up about 3:00. We had to be there at 1, check in. Okay, I'm here. We didn't want to come across. Hey man, what you want to do tonight? I'm working for him really. So Haku comes up 3:30. Hey, but Chuck Coates. Like, yeah, here's what we're gonna do. He told me everything he does. I said, yeah. He said, okay, Andre will come in for the finish. But right now, don't bother Andre, but he's playing. I left him alone. He had his wine and his cards. And we were third match. The taping started at 7. Check this out. 10 to 7, guess what? I still hadn't seen Andre. So I'm a little nervous in a panic mode. Thankfully, I watched wrestling, and thankfully, I knew what he does. But I wanted to hear it from him. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to try anything new and me mess it up. Mm-hmm. I heard this voice. We were in the actually waiting to go. Taping was going to start anytime, 7. Probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes in the show. I hear a big, deep, where is he? It's Andre. Haku's got him by the hand, kind of elbow, walking to me. This is him right here. He looked at me after all that day of worrying, your headbutt, do not take bump, do not go down. I looked at him, I said, yeah, and that's exactly what I thought he was going to do because I've seen him do it before.
Yeah.
That's all he said. Went out there, it went perfectly. After the match, he shook my hand, which was like shaking a 2x4. And thank you very much. Did a good job. And that's all he said. And then it went great, but it was very nerve-wracking. Your second match on TV ever, and you got to get the finish from Andre. And Haku says, don't bother him. So you can imagine. Good experience. Thank goodness I'm still here to talk about it. But look it up. Knowing he's going to drop the elbow after the headbutt. That's so scary. You're thinking, if he misses 3-4 inches, I'm done. Because all his weight's come down his butt, right?
Yeah.
Here he comes.
500 pounds.
He landed, hit perfect. Boom. 1, 2, 3. Got a thank you from Andre the Giant. So my work is done.
That's fantastic. Nice to be praised by Andre the Giant. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's just second match ever as well. Team up Paul Romer, who's really, he's been around for a while in WWE at that time. Andre's tag partner Haku as well. Yeah. Like this.
In one match, I was in the ring with the toughest guy in the wrestling business and the most famous guy in the wrestling business. How pretty good.
Can't make up.
And the word has it, I've always heard Andre picked him, hand-picked him, because he knew he was the only person Andre really feared, because he knew how bad he was if he wanted to be.
Yeah.
So that was a rumor that he always picked Haku, hand-picked him, because they were going to make the colossal connection. Who do you want? Who do you want as your partner? I want him. Yeah. Keep him on the inside.
I've got one last name.
Yes.
Probably one of the most important names in wrestling history, Vince McMahon.
Oh, Vince. We had one encounter. It was just in passing. He told me, thanks for coming. I said, passing each other in the hallway. That was it. But it was good. He smiled at me and thanked me.
Mm-hmm.
That was good enough for me. You know, he kept bringing me back, so I must have done okay. Off and on in 10 years, I had about, from 90 to 2003, there was breaks. There were breaks here and there. They might have had 6 months off, a year off, but I had many matches from 1990, WCW. And then back then we weren't contracted, so we could work for both companies. No harm, no foul. You might see me in WCW 1 week, 3 months later, see me up north. And because we're freelancing, you know, we can go where we want. But they never said that was a problem. They didn't have a problem with that. At the time, you know, you only had so many guys to choose from that had trained for under really legitimate people. That's one thing. If you were picked to go up TV, it wasn't because they saw you at a local indie show. It was because somebody put a word in for you. And so we already had a respect from that matter. You know, you don't call them and say, hey, you got any work for me? I mean, you don't pick them, they pick you. So I want to add one more name myself, if I can.
Go for it, mate. Go for it.
Add one more name to your...
You're the guest, mate.
Did you know I wrestled? Did you know I worked with Steve Austin when he was running Steve?
His first ever match. Ever. Oh, first TV match, wasn't it? First TV match in WCW.
Ever TV. He came in from Texas. They put him in with me, WCW, Stunning Steve. And they said, go out there and see what you got. He made $500 that night. And they told me, and he told me in the back, he says, I can tell you right now, this ain't going to work. He said, this gimmick for me is not me. He said, we're going to work. We're going to roll with it. Hollywood, California. He said, give me a break. I'm from Texas. So we went out there. Steve worked stiff, but he didn't hurt me.
Yeah.
Even before Lady Blossom, he had Vivacious Veronica, which was a girlfriend of his who lived in Raleigh. They dated for a while before Blossom came in. So that was even before Blossom. That was a good match. We did good, and look, the rest is history. Little did I know, a lot of my friends in my circle will say, you made him famous. You're the one that put him over first. You know, just kind of a joke. But,
They're not wrong, though.